In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Preserve me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I say to the Lord, you are my God. My happiness lies in you alone. Welcome to Beacon of Truth, everyone. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today, and excited to talk about homilies today, preaching at Mass, the power of preaching. Well, I'm going to talk about the homily, what it is, how important it is, and not only in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, but to all of our lives as well. What should the homily be? Would love to hear from you to share experiences of maybe some frustrations you've had in homilies, some homilies you've heard that have been transformative for you, how homilies have helped connect the Word of God to your everyday lived experience. Would love to hear from you today. The phone number for you to join to be with us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. And remember that the Soulful Psalms, the second segment of the show, is now its own podcast. That's right. You can go to Podcast Central at EW10.com, or you can go to one of your favorite podcast outlets, iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud. And you can download and listen to the Soulful Psalm segment. That's the second part of the show where I kind of break open and kind of exegete the Psalms and connect it to your life. And the whole point of that, by the way, is when you're listening to the Psalms now at Mass, it helps you to engage God's Word more deeply, right? To connect the Psalms. Because you know how it is at Mass, right? You have the first reading, and then the Psalm, and the second reading. And we're often focusing on the readings, and the Psalms just kind of get left. I mean, we sing them, because often, especially during Sunday Masses, the choir will sing the Psalm, and we sing the refrain, and they'll sing the strophes or the verses. But this is a way of when you're listening to the Psalms, now you go, ah, now I have a little more insight into the Psalms. Ah, now I can listen more deeply to what God is saying to me, how he's speaking to me in the Psalms. That's what we're talking about during that Soulful Psalm segment. But today's show is on preaching at Mass. And I know that's a source of frustration, but also a source of joy for many people as well. Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-3986. You can email beacon@ew10.com as well. Just so to give a quick update, I've still not heard from my family down in Barbados. My sister texted me yesterday, said there's damage to the island. Power and communications are down. And so we're still waiting to hear. And I have cousins, a few cousins that are here that are trying to reach our family down there as well. So as soon as I get an update, I will definitely let you know. And again, I'm so appreciative of all of your prayers for my folks down there, my family down there in Barbados, which is, again, I mentioned yesterday, that's where I was born, that's where I'm from, and that's where the bulk of my family continue to reside. I haven't been home. Last time I was in Barbados was 2010, which was actually a very joyous time. So just keep, again, all the people in my family, all the people in Barbados, all the people in the Caribbean who have been affected by the latest hurricane down there. And for all victims of natural disasters, you know, we hear about things happening in different parts of the world. We want to make sure we're reaching out to them with love and support through our prayers. And, Ace is still on vacation with his family. I hope he's having a great time. Yesterday, he sent me a video of him drumming at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I said, wait, you're playing drums at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What's up with that? And he said there's a section of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame called the Garage. You know, like you have garage bands. So it's called the Garage. And they have instruments set up in there, drums, basses, guitars and stuff. People could just come in, just jump in and start playing, start jamming. I was like, whoa, that was such a great idea to kind of make that whole experience interactive. you know, an interactive experience. I really like that a lot. And so he sent me a video of him drumming, you know, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And yeah, it's so awesome. So I sent him a little meme back, you know, and told him I was jealous, and that was so cool. And he said, oh, man, you'd love it. You'd love it. So, yeah, maybe one of these days. Because, you know, when I do travel, and, you know, I travel quite extensively, I don't do excursions for fun. Because when I'm going out to speak, I really need to stay focused on what God is having me do. It's not a time for fun for me. So I don't, you know, like, oh, would you like to go visit this? Well, actually, no. I'm not trying to be antisocial or anything. It's just that, you know, if I'm not with my wife or kids, you know, then it's not about fun. It's about focusing on doing God's work while I'm there. And quite frankly, the other thing is my wife doesn't like to travel with me on quote unquote work trips when I'm speaking because she doesn't like the attention she gets when she's with me. You know, oh, you're Deacon Harold's wife and all that kind of stuff. And she just like, I just want to be with you, hon. You know, she doesn't like all that stuff. So that's why she doesn't travel with me on, you know, on work or speaking related related trips. So if you don't see her with me, that's why. But if you do see her, then say hi, because occasionally she'll come with me because we have friends or people from our wedding party that live near where I'm speaking. And so she'll come with me, but she won't go to the gig. She'll just go and see our friends or more than our roommates from college or something like that. So, yeah. So, and again, 4th of July is coming up. So, look, I know a lot of people like Ace are going to be traveling during this time. Please be careful. You know, it's better that you get there safe than to try to get there quickly. You know, just take your time, relax. You know, of course, listen to music. Of course, you want to listen to music and stuff. But also make sure, especially if you're with your kids, to have some good conversations, right? So use that time in the car. Not that everybody's on their devices, not everybody's playing games. And yes, of course, listen to music and whose turn is it to, you know, to do their playlist or whatever. That's awesome. But also, especially if it's a long drive, please make sure that you're having some, what an opportunity. Everybody's together. They're kind of, in a sense, trapped in the car together. And what a great opportunity just to have some conversation. You know, just, hey, how are things going? You know, how's, you know, or share your experience or your relation with God, something that God has done in your life. And if they don't want to talk about, that's fine. But at least they're hearing you share about what your relationship with God means to you. Right. And that's a beautiful thing. So take the opportunity to have those conversations. If you want something else to listen to, by the way, there's a great resource. The Truth and Life audio Bible is fantastic. It's called Truth and Life. It's basically has the entire New Testament. It's read and dramatized, and they have sound effects in the background. Like, for example, like you said, it's like St. Paul's letter to the Romans. How are you now with the Gospels? It's easy, right? Jesus walked here, and you can hear in the background the animals in the background and people walking, and you know, the person who's playing Jesus speaking Jesus's parts and the apostles speaking their parts. It comes from the Gospel, so it's a story, and you can imagine that in your mind, right? You can have a picture, you can hear the background, the noises in the background. It's really well done. But how do you do that with St. Paul's letter to the Romans or something like, or Corinthians, you know? But the way they do it is so good. You kind of hear the fire. It's like St. Paul, you hear the chair being drawn out and he's sitting down, and you hear the, well, I think it's paper, but they didn't have paper back then, right? Like parchment. And you hear him, like scrolling, the pen writing, and you hear a fire crackling in the background. And then the person comes on that's supposed to be St. Paul, you know, starts narrating. It's so well done and really draws you in. And some sections have music, like little music playing in the background. It's very, very well done. I highly recommend it. And it's free, right? It's free. The best price. The Truth and Life audio Bible. I remember right when we the kids were in the car, we were listening, and sometimes we get to where we're going and they still want to listen. They don't want to get out the car. Oh, I want to hear the end of this story. You know, and it really draws you in. So that was something I would highly recommend. Again, it's the Truth and Life Audio Bible. You can download the app and you can just plug it in through a USB port in your car and play it through the app. It's probably the easiest way to do that. So today we're talking about preaching at Mass. And I'm very excited to talk about this today because obviously this is something that I do for a living, right? Not just preaching at Mass, but speaking on Christ and the Catholic faith in general. But specifically today, we're talking about preaching at Mass. Would love for you to be part of the program today. Give us a call, 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Little techno feel today. get ready for the 4th of July holiday week. And you know, it's always strange when a holiday falls in the middle of the week, but you can kind of make a little extended weekend out of it, you know, like a Thursday, and then take Friday off and have a nice extended weekend and a nice little groove here to get you into the mood for 4th of July. And of course, you know, Ace, as I mentioned, is on vacation. He's sent me a video from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and now he's making his way up to Michigan. So safe travels to him and for everyone traveling on this 4th of July weekend. You're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. We're talking about preaching at Mass today. You know, so we're talking about the joys that you experience because of a great homily, or maybe some frustrations that you have because Father's not preaching or the deacon's not preaching on what you want to hear at Mass. We're going to talk about all that today. Would love to hear from you. The phone number to call to join to be with us is 833-288-3986. Just want to remind you about Pro-Life Pulse. So the EW10 Pro-Life Pulse is your weekly recap of the top pro-life headlines moving our nation and our world that the mainstream media missed. Oh, we know how that goes. you want to hear something in the news, and a lot of these news stations, I don't care who they are, they have agendas. They're only going to put out there, you know, they're just like these educational institutions. They're just going to put out there what they want to put out and not really give you the full picture. Well, guess what? When it comes to pro-life issues, EW10 Pro-Life Pulse will give you exactly what you need, what the mainstream media misses. So visit EW10.com/pro-life to sign up today and to stay connected to Pro-Life Pulse. All right, well, it is time for us to break open God's Word in the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we break open God's Word in the Psalms and feed you with words of life. And today, we're looking at Psalm 76. So, Psalm 76 is in Book 3 of the Psalms, Psalm 73 to 89. And Psalm 73 to 83 were written by Asaph. Asaph means gather in Hebrew. So Psalm 76, we're going to go through that one today. And this is, I like this Psalm a lot. So the prescript is the entire first verse of the Psalm. It says, for the choir master with string instruments, a Psalm of Asaph, a song. Okay. Very, very interesting. So again, so it says a Psalm of Asaph. So Asaph wrote the Psalm. Then it says for the choir master. So Asaph wrote the psalm, then he gave it to the choir master, probably Jeduthun or Nathan or one of the other guys. Perhaps you can see the whole list, by the way, 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22, right? 1 Chronicles 15, 16 to 22 to see the entire list of the superintendents of the musical guild. So he gave it to one of them, and it says with string instruments, right? So he must have had a theme or a motif in his mind how he wanted this particular psalm to sound. And so he specifically, and there's a few psalms like this, would give specific instrumentation for what they want for this particular psalm. And so the psalm starts in verse 2. God is renowned in Judah. In Israel, his name is great. So, okay, what are you talking about Judah here? Now, remember, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and there was the northern tribe, which are the 10 tribes. 10 of the 12 tribes were in the north, and then the other two tribes were in the south, right? So Judah and Benjamin, those were the two tribes that were in the south. All the other tribes were in the north. So Asaph here is writing with regard to the southern kingdoms. So God is renowned in Judah and Israel. His name is great. His tent is set in Salem. It's like Shalom, peace. So Jerusalem, right? So this is prior to Jerusalem. His tent is set in Salem. And his dwelling place in Zion, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. So he's making an earthly connection. His tent, right? His tent is set in Salem because nomadic people, they moved around, they lived in tents. But his dwelling place is in Zion, which is the heavenly Jerusalem. So he's making a connection here with the earthly and the heavenly, the temporal and the transcendent. God dwelling with his people on earth while still dwelling with his people in heaven, right? Dwelling in heaven where he hopes his people will be with him one day. It is there that he broke the flaming arrows, the shield, the sword, the armor in verse 4. So what is he talking about here? So how God has helped them to triumph over their enemies, over those who are trying to defeat them. God, you know, he broke their arrows, their sword, their armor. In other words, that's language that's saying he gave us the victory. It was, yes, it was us who was fighting, but it was God who was fighting with us and for us who gave us the victory. So that, but when it talks about, again, the dwelling place in Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, this would also draw our hearts into the fact that God also helps us to break the stronghold of sin in our lives. So yes, he breaks the flaming arrows and the shield and the sword of those who are trying to defeat Israel, but he also breaks the stranglehold of sin in our lives that are trying to defeat us, that are trying to kill God's life in us, that are trying to take the Holy Spirit, that are trying to take the joy and take our peace out of our life, right? So that's what I love about the Psalms here. There's always this beautiful flow between the earthly and the heavenly, right? And this is how we make these connections so that the Psalms are not just something written, you know, 3,000 years ago. These are something that are meaningful to us in our life every day now. Verse 5, resplendent are you. They're talking about the Lord here. Resplendent are you, more majestic than the everlasting mountains. And I love that, especially having come back a month ago now from, about a month ago now, that my wife and I got back from our 30th wedding anniversary trip through, we went across Canada by train, and the Canadian Rockies, how majestic, like every turn, every twist is like a postcard. And so I have a beautiful image in my mind here. So God is more majestic, and I was looking at that, and I was just so drawn in by the beauty. But God is even more beautiful, more majestic than even the most beautiful thing on the earth. The stout-hearted, despoiled, slept in death. None of the soldiers could lift a hand. At your threat, O God of Jacob, horse and rider lay stunned. So again, talking about those who came up against them, didn't realize that God was also fighting with them and fighting for them. And so they were defeated. At your threat, O God of Jacob, horse and rider lay stunned. Right? When they discovered, oh my goodness, they're not just fighting on their own. The Lord is fighting with them. The Lord is strengthening them. And they were stunned at the power of the defeat. You alone strike terror. Who can stand in your presence against the might of your wrath? Right. So now he's reflecting on this. Right. He's seeing what God did in helping to defeat their enemies. And he says, you alone strike terror. Who can stand in your presence against the might of your wrath? Again, the might of your wrath. Okay, God is a God of love. He doesn't have the anger and the wrath. But again, sometimes we place human attributes on God in order to express how God was working in a particular situation. All right. So, yeah, so we put these attributes on God, although he doesn't have them. He doesn't have emotions because he's God, the Father. Right. But we put these human attributes on God in order to in a sense, draw him more close to us. See, and the fulfillment of this kind of language is Jesus Christ. Because against the might of your wrath, O God. Well, wait a minute. Jesus came. He is that revelation. He is that word of God that was made flesh. So now we don't have to put human attributes onto God to draw him close to us. God drew us closest to us when he sent his son to be in a relationship of intimate and life-giving communion with us. And the psalm continues, you uttered your sentence from the heavens. The earth in terror was still. When you arose, O God, to judge, to save all the humble of the earth. So again, there's a parallelism here where he's rephrasing in a different way here what he had stated earlier before. So the earth was in terror when it recognized your power, O God, but you saved all the humble of the earth. Right? All those who place themselves humbly under God's love, under God's authority, okay? Under God's love and God's authority are the ones who are humble. And Jesus talks about this in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5 through 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about humility and the humble of heart. And for the rage of, verse 11, for the rage of man only serves to praise you. You surround yourself with the survivors of wrath. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let all around him pay tribute to the one who strikes terror. So the rage of man only serves to praise. I love that. That's very interesting. The rage of man only serves to praise you. Because they realize his frustration before the Lord. He goes, why can't I do this? Why can't I? It recognizes, okay, in my frustration, because I'm trying to do this by myself without God. So I'm frustrated. And that in itself is praise. Right, because that's a recognition that you can't do this by yourself, that you need God to help you. And that's why you're frustrated, because you're not asking God to help you in this scenario, in this particular part of my life, this aspect of my being. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Right? Our baptismal vows, our ordination vows, our wedding vows, you know, the vows that we make to God, the sacrament confirmation, all of that. And fulfill them. Let all around him pay tribute to the one who strikes terror. Again, using that human language about striking terror, right? It's really the people of Israel who are striking the terror, but because God lifted them up and gave them the glory, they're putting that human attribute on God. Who cut short the breath of princes, who strikes terror in the kings of the earth. So again, very militaristic language, say aggressive, but very definitive kind of language. But it's also a language of confidence. You know, just like we have, we see God coming in and defeating the power of the enemies. This is, to me, looking forward. It's kind of allegorically looking forward to Jesus, who will come in not with an army, not with the sword and the shield. Because remember, there were some people who thought that's what the Messiah was going to do. He was going to establish a military coup to order to overthrow the Romans so that Israel can take back their country and their way of life again. But Jesus came to destroy something even more powerful than that, death itself. So we're talking about preaching at Mass here on Beacon of Truth. Would love for you to be part of the program. Can't wait to hear from you. 833-288-3986. All right, a little rocking out today. You know, this is a great music to celebrate Ace McKay visiting the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this is the kind of music that's kind of light, lifts you up, puts you in a nice little guitar riff there, puts you in a good mood in preparation for the long holiday weekend with 4th of July coming up. And interesting thing for me this year, I will not have a 4th of July, so I'll be traveling to Australia, and the 4th will not exist for me, which is kind of funny. But you're listening to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And today we're talking about preaching at Mass. We're going to talk about the homily. We're going to talk about what it is, why it's important, and what it's supposed to do. Like, what is the purpose of the homily? Why only can deacons and preach deacons and priests preach at Mass? We're going to look at maybe from frustrations you have. We want to share with us. The frustrations you may have at Mass, like the Father's not preaching what we want to preach about, or great experiences of how homilies have been transformative for you. Maybe you want to give a shout out for a priest who does a great job preaching. If questions about preaching at Mass, maybe, well, how do I get Father to talk more, to talk about things that are difficult, like abortion and things like that, that some priests are afraid to talk about at Mass. We're talking about that today, preaching at Mass. Would love for you to join us today. Phone number to call is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, beacon@ewtn.com, or you can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response and text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Before we jump into our topic today, just want to remind you to join us on EWTN Radio for coverage of the National Eucharistic Congress from July 17th to the 21st on EWTN Radio and Television. Right, so I will be there, and I'll be hanging out at the EWTN booth for part of the time that I'm there. The National Eucharistic Congress is a historic event that will celebrate the gift of Christ's love in the Eucharist. Now, if you can't go in person, keep it locked on EWTN Radio for live coverage of this historic event from Indianapolis, Indiana. And I will be broadcasting, by the way, Beacon of Truth from the Eucharistic Congress. So don't miss a minute, EWTN Radio for the National Eucharistic Congress. All right, we're diving into our topic today, preaching at Mass. Would love to hear from you, your experiences of homilies at Mass, some great experiences you had, some not so good experiences you had, any questions you have about preaching, and I'll also fill in some blanks here as well about the power of preaching, what the homily should be. Would love to hear from you. The phone number to join us is 833-288-3986. Just like Danielle has done, calling us from Ocala, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 130. Danielle, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're most welcome. What's your question or comment?
Sure. So I attend daily Mass Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And for each one of those, we have a different presider. And we have a priest who's new to our parish, but not new to the priesthood. He's been a priest for decades. But he skips a homily at daily Mass. He doesn't skip it on Sunday Masses, but he skips it on daily Mass. He'll go right from proclaiming the gospel to the prayers of the faithful, where on Wednesdays, that priest reads a homily, and then on Fridays, another priest will do maybe 2-3 minutes. He keeps it really short, but he also gives a homily. So I'm wondering if it's a complete Mass, if having a homily makes the Mass valid, or is it just, you know, a great way to kind of tie it all together?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question, Daniel. That is a great question. So let's talk about the precedence for preaching at Mass, by the way. So it's actually scriptural. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is one of the verses that we use. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus to proclaim the word. Be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. All right. So the homily, what it is a breaking open and feeding with the word of God in preparation for Christ being broken and given to us in the Eucharist. Right. So we're fed twice at Mass. We're fed by the word in the liturgy of the word, and then fed by Christ himself, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the liturgy of the Eucharist. It's Christ that's feeding us in his word and in his sacrament. Right. So the role of the homily is to help that word that we just heard in the scriptures make the transition into the practical life, to connect this ancient book, which is not just a book, but it's God's word. It's God speaking to us, relating his life to us. So we're taking that and making it make sense in our life and in our world today. So that's like a little bit of an overview. So to answer your question, the general instruction of the Roman Missal says that on Sunday, so the general instruction of the Roman Missal is the rules for the Mass. So on Sundays and holy days of obligation, there must be a homily, right? On Sundays and holy days of obligation, there must be a homily, unless for some grave reason to omit it, but I don't see what a reason could possibly be. On the other days, like the weekday Masses, like what you're talking about, Danielle, it's recommended. Okay, so a homily is only technically required on Sundays and holy days of obligation. It's recommended on the other weekdays. All right. Now, having said that, I don't see a reason why a priest can't take a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to give a short homily on the readings that they just heard. I don't see a reason to omit it. I don't want to make judgments, but maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's just they got a meeting coming up. They got to get out of there quicker. I'm not sure what it is, but I don't see a reason why. Again, it's just the rules say it's just recommended during the weekday, but I just don't see a reason why they can't say something to help connect that word to prepare people better to receive Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. That makes sense?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Danielle, for calling. So great to hear from you. And we want to hear from you. We're talking about preaching at Mass today. We want to hear about your experiences of awesome homilies that were life-changing for you. Maybe you love going to Mass every week because you know Father's is going to break open that word and feed you that Sunday and before Christ feeds you with his own body, blood, soul, divinity. Maybe you're frustrated with maybe some of the preaching that's going on at Mass. Maybe you have someone that's preaching that's not a priest or a deacon, which ain't supposed to happen. So, but if you want to share your experiences of the power of preaching, would love to hear from you today. The phone number to call to be with us is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. On YouTube, Michael says homily shouldn't take longer than 15 minutes. Okay, now let me address this. My homilies are never 15 minutes. Okay, because look, I'm thinking I have the rest of my life to say what I gotta say. You know, to break open God's word. Now Pope Francis recommended somewhere like between 5 to 8 minutes, something like that. Now why is that? Why do people do shorter homilies? Now, mine are probably 10 minutes, you know, something like that. And I try to stay focused on the readings, not to go off on some tangent, not to talk about myself, not to talk about this, but to keep it relevant so that people are hearing God's word and receiving, an explanation, how to connect this more deeply to their life every day. But you don't, 15 minutes, you know, the reason why they have shorter homilies is this, I don't know. I don't think this makes sense, but this is what I've heard. That why a 7-minute homily? Cause that's the time, like if you're watching television, the time between commercials. So when you come out of a commercial watching TV, you could probably get 7 minutes of content. So your sitcom, situation comedy, or your Law and Order, whatever the show is probably on for seven, and then another commercial comes. So we've been programmed now by television for only listening or keep our attention span for about 7 minutes. And that's why, I'm not saying that's what the Pope is saying, but I'm saying that's why often you hear people say, well, only preach for like 6 or 7 minutes, you know? And I think that's the reason, because the television attention span can only take it for that long. But you know what? If you're preaching well, people are going to listen. I mean, I've not preaching at mass, but I've given talks where I've literally talked for 90 minutes during a parish mission without stopping. And by the time I realize, I get to my stopping point. No, keep going. Because if the content is good, if people are being fed, they want more. So it's not about the time. It's about the content. Are you just going on and on and on just so you can hear yourself talk? Or are you really feeding people with God's word and God's life in what you're saying at mass, right? And then Bob, YouTube also called in and said, Deacon, I hear the Pope keeps pushing for brevity in the homily, but a priest friend of mine from Nigeria said that most of Africa people get mad if the homily is not at least 45 minutes. What should priests in those areas take from the latest push from the Holy Father? Okay, again, the Holy Father is recommending shorter homilies. He's not mandating it at all. And why in Africa is it 45 minutes? And here's the thing. I've preached in Africa, in South Africa. So that's actually true. They got to understand. When I was in South Africa, in Soweto, and I preached at Mass there, Mass started at 8 o'clock. Some people started walking from their house at 6 a.m., to get the Mass on time. This is the only chance they will have to get the Mass for the whole week. They live in villages around the cities, and they walk for 2 hours so they can get to Mass on time. And this is the only time they get the Mass. So, of course, they want to hear preaching. They're looking at the world around. They're trying to make sense of what they're seeing. And, you know, they want longer homilies. They want to be fed by God's word. They don't have television. A lot of them don't have television or internet or cell phones to keep them occupied. So this is how they get fed. This is how they get nourished by God's word. So yes, they like the longer homilies. Why? But I tell you this, if that homily was boring, if it was just like, you know, not good content, they will not listen for 45 minutes. People listen for that long because whatever the preacher is preaching on, they are being fed at the depths of their soul. And that is what is connecting them to the Mass and to God's word. Right. So that's the issue there. Right. So we're talking about preaching at Mass. Would love to hear from you today on your thoughts on maybe priests that are doing a great job, priests doing not so good job. What does that mean? What does preaching mean to you? 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Pat is calling from Ohio, listening on The Rock. Pat, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. And every time I hear Father Mark Latkovich preach at St. Ladislaw Church at the weekday masses, I'm struck by how powerful those homilies are. They're not long, but they're deep and practical. And they're both deep and practical. I even told him one time, I said, you know, there are certain TV shows that are written with the quality of a movie. And I said, your preaching has the high quality and a daily mass of what a great homily would be at a Sunday mass. And, you know, he's been like that for years. The other comment I had, my son and I were in Ireland working on the pro-life campaign when the people of Ireland voted to legalize abortion.
Yeah.
And the vote was on a Friday. They counted the votes on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we went to Mass, and we lost that vote. And you know what the priest said in his homily? There was no homily at that Mass. A Sunday Mass, the day after the people voted to legalize abortion, there was no homily.
Wow. Wow.
Maybe he just was so floored he didn't know what to say.
Yeah. But I hear you, Pat. I mean, I love the fact that you talked about the priest there, that even as weekday homilies, they sound like Sunday homilies. And that's the key. And weekday homilies are supposed to be short. Why? Because people are going to work, Right, people, they got kids off daycare, they got to drop the kids off at school, they're on their way to work, and so they want to be fed by word and sacrament. So that's a beautiful way to start their day. So when you have, again, short but powerful, meaningful homily, again, it's not the length of time, it is the content. Are you connecting with people? Are they being fed? Are you feeding them with words of life? You know, that's the thing. So thank you for sharing. And again, with that priest in Ireland, the son on preaching on Sunday masses and holy days obligation, are you're not supposed to omit the homily. Again, during the weekday, it's recommended. But on Sundays and holy days, you're supposed to be giving a homily there. So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Pat. We want to also hear from you, just like we heard from Pat in Ohio, talking about preaching at Mass. 833-288-3986. We have David calling from Northern Indiana, listening on Sirius XM 130. David, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yes, very blessed to have a Monsignor Hines, who is a prolific speaker.
And, oh, yeah, you know, he's awesome.
Do you know him?
Oh, yes, he's awesome.
And he was teaching at a seminary. But he's back at St. Pius in Granger, but he was at St. Matthew's in Mishawaka. But I used to, because the wisdom that would be passed, as I was trying to comprehend what Monsignor just said, there was another nugget that I couldn't catch. So I just learned to bring a micro cassette recorder with me.
Mm-hmm.
To record his homilies.
Excellent. No, yeah, that's a great idea. I like that. In fact, you know, during the pandemic, David, there were a number of churches that were, you know, podcasting the masses. And so as a result of that, a lot of the parishes have kept the practice of streaming the mass and posting the homilies so that people can, you know, that can hear what Father said during mass. So that's a great idea, Dave.
I mean, you agree. The man is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Monsignor Hines is awesome. Awesome.
You know, a parish priest. But one of his homilies, listen, limping towards Christ, I can just remember as he's giving this on the reading of the gospel was about the healing of the lame man. And basically, relating that to how we ourselves are lame, and the fact that we're making our way towards Christ one step at a time, sometimes limping our way towards Jesus.
Yes.
Remember the homily and the title of it. You know, it was a good homily, no?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I love that limping because it gives you a beautiful visual. Well, because Jesus bringing to bring healing, so he healed many who were lame, right? And our sins hobble us. And so in humility, we need to take that beautiful walk toward Jesus. I love the way he phrased that. Well, David, man, thank you so much for calling and sharing about Monsignor Hines. Fabulous preacher. We want to hear from you today. We're talking about preaching at Mass on Beacon of Truth. The phone number to be with us today is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Jim, calling from Greenville, South Carolina, listening on the EWTN app. Jim, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon. I called because I wanted to give a specific shout out or praise to my pastor, Father Christopher Smith, Prince of Peace, Taylor, South Carolina. And I was telling one of the producers on the line that I don't think that I can't recall a less than stellar homily from Father Smith, and I always there's no way that you can't really doze off when he's preaching, and you come out smarter than you were before. He's a very intelligent man, and I think he started his career with the intent that he would be a professor on the college level, but he ended up being a pastor in the Diocese of Charleston. But he's very, very good about, of course, always tying the homily into the readings, but also that he goes into quite a bit of the history throughout of the church throughout his homilies, and he's well traveled, and he always ties in the travels into his preaching and his homilies. He's just an amazing guy. I'm not sure how he gets all that knowledge into that one head.
Yeah. Well, Jim, you know, thank you for that. And let me make a point here. You made a great point, because sometimes we have priests who are scholars. They've gotten doctoral degrees from Rome, you know, and but when they're preaching, it's not about sounding like a college professor. It's not trying to show people how smart you are. The goal is, how do I take all this wonderful knowledge that I've learned and get it across in a way that's meaningful in people's lives? That's the key. Not trying to sound smart or too intellectual, but taking that beautiful knowledge that God has gifted you with and using it in a homily to feed people, to break open God's word, and to say, oh, yes, this is how it connects to your life every day. And he's going to connect his life to you in a special way through the Eucharist. So we're connecting with God and keeping that relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion flowing. Thank you so much, Jim. We're talking about preaching at Mass on Beacon of Truth, and Mike is calling us from Easton, PA. Mike's listening on Sirius XM 130. Mike, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, Mike.
Listen to everybody. But this year, I always find where I go to, well, where I am in Easton, Pennsylvania, we have a lot of churches, and the sound is very good in most of all the churches. The one church I go to, Our Lady Perpetual Help, they have a Monsignor Sax and a Father Marty. The Monsignor Sax will take 2 to 3 minutes to do his homily. And believe me, Father Marty, he may be 7 minutes, 10 minutes, but very good. Father Ken and St. Anthony, got a lot of churches around me. But I find that I come from New York, if you hear the accent. And I was in a basilica, and that's where I was brought up. But I couldn't hear, even as a kid, even now, you can't hear because of the echo. The sound system isn't good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The guy could be talking the homily in the world, but you can't hear it. And, you know, people, when they go to Mass, they're looking at, you know, the 45-minute special. You know, they're not supposed to be that way, you know. I go to Mass, I'm going to church, I'm going to God's house. I'm going to go have breakfast with Jesus. And that's the type of mindset I put myself in. You talk about that people in Africa able to walk to church. I would love to be able to walk to church, you know. That's when neighborhoods were strong, because people belonged to parishes. See, now they say they're neighborhoods. You know, I live in this neighborhood, but they used to say parishes. When I was a kid, you grew up in St. Francis Parish, St. Catherine's Parish, Our Lady of Angels Parish. That's where you identified. And it made the neighborhood stronger, too, because everybody went to Mass in that church. As time went on, people, you know, I don't like that priest. He's too long. He's too this. I'll tell you real quick, I served Mass from second grade into high school in the Most Precious Blood Monastery in Brooklyn, New York. Cloister Sisters, and it was Monsignor Fry. Found out later, Monsignor Fry used to write books. Fry prayer books and all. I never knew that. Maybe I said two words to Monsignor Fry all the time. And one day I was looking for the answers, and there was a book in a basement I was in, and I took the book out. It was everything about the Bible and why us Catholics believe what we believe, and it was from Monsignor Fry. So here's a guy, and he taught me. I mean, when I was a kid, we hardly said two words to one another, but all of a sudden, there was that book. I find that's God. He said, you know, he taught me.
All right. Preaching by example. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mike. And we have Chuck on YouTube. Thank you to EWTN for recording and providing the daily homilies. They are a huge blessing to people who are often homebound with chronic conditions. So true. My mom was one who was a recipient of the EWTN daily masses and homilies when she was homebound in my own house. Oh, man, we got so many people holding, but God, we've come to an end of the show today. Tomorrow, it's Word of God Wednesday. We're going to be breaking open God's Word in John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29, Doubting Thomas. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at edwtn.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, my friends, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.